This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to First Time
Dads! With me, Richard Innes.
And me, Steve Miles. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. We've got to stop doing it. We keep barking.
We do. I hope everyone's well. We thought Rich and I would have a chat this week about something which I'm sure you've all experienced, which is taking your kids to the communal playground, particularly a dad experience in what I've seen on a Saturday and Sunday morning, where there's lots of dads standing around in running shoes, drinking coffees out of keep cups and looking at their work phones while their kids, you know, either mix with other kids or, you know, fall off the slide while they're not looking.
It's a bit of a microcosm of everything, isn't it, when you're at the playground? Because actually, this Steve suggested this as a topic we should cover. And when I thought about it, I was like, actually, that's absolutely right. Because as you say, everybody does it, right? Everyone takes their kid to the playground. And you kind of get a bit of everything. You get kind of a bit of insight into how your kid is with other kids. You get an insight to what an absolute bloody nightmare some kids are. You get an insight into the difficulties of sharing. And actually, the bit that really makes me cringe is the bit of having to kind of interact with other people that you wouldn't necessarily interact with just because your child and their child are in the same vicinity.
Yeah, because little Johnny is pushed in front of the slide in front of your kid, you start to judge.
Oh, yeah, the judgment. And you know you're being judged, and you know that you're guilty of judging other people. Because everyone always says you shouldn't judge other people, right? I get that.
Of course, we all do.
Because you're human.
Exactly.
And if there's a kid lying on a floor kicking and screaming, I want to feel sympathy. And I do. There's a lot of time where you think, oh man, that is a nightmare, because I've been there, because Ben does that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's difficult not to go, especially when Ben's looking at daddy, he's crying. I'm like, yeah, he's crying. Let's not make a thing of it, son. Let's go.
Yeah, I start making judgments on people's parenting based on how precocious this little kid looks or that little kid looks.
Yeah, if there's a kid that's running up the slide, you're like, ooh. Yeah. Oh, they're obviously quite
throwing wood chips up the slide.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there was, what was at the weekend, I was up there and there was a little kid in a dinosaur baseball cap. Now, you'd think nothing of that, except I happen to know that that dinosaur print on that baseball cap is a Paul Smith dinosaur print. So that kid is wearing a 50 quid baseball cap.
Yeah, judgment.
And
judgment
I'm already comes. Starting to make judgments about this kid and his family.
Yeah, which is terrible, because that's kind of the entire thing, the entire ethos is within this podcast is meant to be the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, we are not trying to judge anybody. But the point is that as a human being, there is going to be something in you. You do start to form perceptions of people on the basis of how their child behaves.
Yeah, but it also, and I find this interesting, is that it's very rare that you get to watch your child interacting with other children on a mass scale. Because generally you drop them off at nursery and they go off and do their thing at nursery or whatever, and you go off to work and you pick up at the end of the day and maybe there's a few bumps and bruises and there might be a little bit of a feedback form to do or something like that, but you don't really watch it. Whereas I watch Jackson looking at two little boys running around who are older than him. He clearly wanted to get involved with them, so he went and stood near them and then started to do what they were doing. And they were talking about Star Wars, and Jackson doesn't really know what Star Wars is. But he heard one of them say about Darth Vader, and he started to talk. But it was slightly out of his depth in terms of his knowledge base. Yeah. But they were running around, they were climbing up onto like a climbing frame, and it was a battleship. And Jackson was they took Jackson in, and then one of the little boys came over and started talking to me and was saying
that
he'd done his park run that morning, and he's done five park runs. And then it was a hot morning and the two little lads took off their t-shirts, and then Jackson wants to take his t-shirt off, and he just met these boys and it was quite sweet, and it was nice, and it gave me some pride and some confidence in Jackson's ability to socialise and to make friends and stuff. It obviously, a little bit of me was like, you know, so protective, like, you know, don't really know whether these boys are going to be nice to him in the long run. But then that's part of watching your kids grow up, isn't it?
It's a bit like we're, you know, I can think of several situations where Ben has been with older kids. So I was a very good friend, my best mate's little boy had his fourth birthday party. Ben's only 2.5, and we were there. And so my mate's kid, he's sort of you know, he's the birthday boy and he's got all his mates there who are all sort of the same age as him. And bless them, like the kids, they were really nice. They did take Ben in a little bit, but there's an element, of course, where they're four. There's certain things they can do. They can run faster, they can climb higher, all those things that Ben can't quite do. And it is a little bit heartbreaking when you watch your kid and he's the youngest of whatever group it might be, and he just can't quite keep up and he can't quite do it.
Yeah.
And what's weird is then watching that, I'm feeling, I can feel that anxiety. I can feel like, oh God, I don't want him to be left out. I don't want him to be left out. But the weird thing is, you look at him, he's not got that anxiety.
No.
So there's a danger that you're going to put it on him.
Well, of course.
And actually, and that's what you don't want to do. And so I kind of almost follow his lead a little bit. And I'm like, okay, so yeah, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Yeah, you can do it when you're bigger.
Well, it's when they climb up to the big slide at the top.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
If you show any sort of doubt or lack of confidence that you think they can come down, like go, oh, no, Ben, don't, you know, be careful up there. Then he'll react to that and think, oh, no, that's a big boy slide. I can't go on that. Whereas Jackson, that sort of gone a little bit with him, or in certain circumstances has gone. Certainly with Iris, she is fearless. She's like, you know, 15 months old. She's climbing up that steel ladder, getting to the top, swiveling her bum round, putting her legs down and coming down on her own and shouting, "Wee."
But where's the back? Because the thing is, right, I became aware actually through doing the podcast. There's a few people, a few of the experts we've had on and talking about. I wasn't aware that I was doing the, what is it called, helicopter parenting thing. And it was only when someone described it, I was like, oh, blimey, that's me. I do that. Like, I'm never trying to hold Ben back, but I do that
thing
where I'm over him.
This is when you're basically walking behind them.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when he's going up a big ladder.
Yep.
And I'm just sort of behind it. And I'm making sure I'm not sort of holding on to him. I'm letting him do it himself, but I'm just there as a sort of a bit of a safety net, just in case he slips. And then you think, okay, but there's got to be I'm never quite sure where the line is, because on the one hand, okay, I want him to try new things and push himself a little bit. Great, go for it, mate. Go, do some climbing. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But at the same time, if he does fall, then he's going to hurt himself. So you're kind of like,
isn't it? We all fall and hurt ourselves in life, don't we? And presumably these playgrounds are designed, you know, to be, certainly they've got soft wood chips and stuff underneath.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that weird bouncy concrete stuff. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that is, but the stuff that it's like spongy concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to be everywhere. It's really weird.
And there's going to be a point at which he's going to fall over, bump himself, graze his knee, cut his knee. It, you know, can't be there for everything, can you? And I guess that's the point. You can't be there all the time. Yeah. So,
but there is a line. Like, so if he's climbed up something that's, you know, 6 feet tall, if he falls off the back of something that's 6 feet tall and falls down, that's not the same as falling 2 feet. If he falls 2 feet, he's going to bump. He's going to get a bruise, right? If he falls 6 feet, that's a long way down. So you kind of like, where? At what point do I come in and just make sure? Whoop, just make sure you don't slip off there. So
but then I wonder, and we'd have to have an expert in on this, I'm sure. I wonder if he's climbing as high as he's climbing because daddy's behind him, or if you weren't behind him, he would make a decision and go, that's a bit high for me.
Maybe.
I'm not going to climb.
Maybe.
Because there's an element of risk. He's not going to throw himself down the stairs. However, if you stand at the bottom of the stairs and say, come on, Ben, I'll catch you, he'll throw himself down the steps. You know,
there's a bit of that.
He's going to be making decisions on risk himself.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting how much you take out of those sessions. So whether it be like a playground session or a soft play session or something, if I see another kid like bounding across, you know, the sort of netting or whatever, and they're like running across, and then I see Ben sort of inching across, holding onto the side, and I'm being like, come on, son, you can, it's all right. Come on, let's go. Because I think he's quite a cautious kid. Which is a good thing in one respect, because he's very aware of his surroundings and stuff. But you do sort of want to go, come on, keep up. And then you have to have a word with yourself, because you're like, well, actually, I don't want to compete. You know, that kid might be good at one thing,
he might be older.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, you never know. So it is interesting. It is very interesting how much you take out of those. And like you said, it is always like a Saturday morning session.
Do you talk to other dads and mums?
I try to, yeah. I suppose that's in my nature, I suppose. I'll chat to anybody. So there's some people that you can see a bit more, maybe people who are a bit shy by their nature, who find
body
it
language
really difficult. Yeah, so there's people, and like I'll sort of say, oh, you know, I'll ask, oh, so how old is he? You know, because Ben's on the swing next to him and they're chatting. Oh, and you can see people who find it really difficult, which is understandable, because in what other context would you just start talking to a stranger in the park? Do you know what I mean? It is quite weird when you think about it.
It is. I suspect in other countries and other cultures, it's not so weird. I think in London,
peculiarly London British. Well, not even British. It's London, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly in London. I mean, you talk to some of our colleagues. You know, I'm using broad sweeping statements here just to caveat this. Some of our colleagues in the office who come from Manchester and Liverpool, who reference how unsociable people are in London, how everyone just doesn't talk to each other, whereas you get the feeling that there's a bit more friendship going around up north.
Yeah, generally speaking. But then you've also got to bear in mind that just as there are kids who are nice kids and naughty kids, there are nice grown-ups and grown-ups who are, frankly, dickheads.
That is
the truth, right? I mean, because I can think of certain situations where I've been and you get chatting to someone and it's really nice and they're like, you know, that you're kind of encouraging the kids to play together. There have been other situations where I've found myself glaring at a dad because he's just let his son, you know, knock over Ben or push in front of another kid and you're like, are you kidding me? Or hogging the swing. So are you not aware?
Yeah, we have one of those at the weekend.
Are you not aware? Like, can you not see that there's four other kids waiting to get on here?
Yeah. How long?
The rules aren't there, are they? But general common sense should suggest, right? You should have an awareness of what's going on around you. And you should at least be able to look around and say, oh, look, that kid's been waiting a while. And it teaches your kid a lesson. If you say to your kid, now listen, you've had your turn. Now it's this little girl's turn. And you take your kid off and they might not like it. And you say, well, look, we can queue up again afterwards and you can have another turn.
Yep.
And that's that. But so the idea that you just say to your kid, no, you're going to stay on as long as you like.
Yeah.
No good.
It's the wrong attitude. Mm. And also, I feel quite sorry. And this is, again, judgmental and maybe...
This has turned into a judgmental rant, hasn't it?
When you see the dad at the park just looking at his phone all the time, it's like, okay, I understand you might be closing a big deal or whatever it is you're doing or looking at, you know, whatever, Tinder.
well, it could be.
Or whatever. Or just watching some crap on YouTube. But I think it's your kids. You need to see your kids play. You know, you need to be there and present and not just looking at your phone all the time.
It's difficult to be 100% focused 100% of the time, isn't it? I mean, I take Ben to one of these little, it's called Little Kickers. I think they're all over the country, actually.
Yeah, Jackson's been to one.
Football, so they're a little sort of, we call it football training. It's not football training. It's, you know, it's a nice little play thing they do. He's got a football kit for it and all that stuff. It's really, really sweet. But it is interesting watching, like, they do this thing where all the kids have to sit by the wall and then they get up and take it in turns to score a goal. Yeah. You know, they stand on the spot and then they have to jump over this thing and run up and then kick the ball in the goal.
Yep.
And it's really interesting because as soon as he kicks the ball in the goal, his head just spins on a swivel to me because he's looking to make sure I've been looking. And of course, I'm like cheering and clapping and he comes running over and we get a cuddle in. It's really sweet. But it does make you realise that, he is really keen to just check that I've been watching.
Yeah, well, Jackson goes to Mini Athletics, which is a similar sort of franchise thing where they have running races and they throw up... foam javelins and everything's themed each week. It's either pirates or dinosaurs or something.
Nice, yeah.
But it's the same sort of thing. We have done the football thing. And also he goes to a swimming lesson as well on a Sunday morning. And he looks over because he goes in the pool on his own. Mm. And I stand by the side and watch. And he keeps looking over to see if I'm looking because I have this thing with him about listening. You need to listen because he's been told off for not listening before. So I'm just always looking over and he's checking to see whether I'm paying attention to him.
Are you talking to the other parents when you're on the sidelines?
I have done in the past, yeah. That's only because I bump into another journalist down there who's there with her kids and, you know, we're all having various stresses around that and we talk shop or whatever. But yeah, I do talk to some kids at the park. I think it's quite an interesting one where you're talking, when you end up talking to mums.
Yeah, yeah.
As a dad. Because it, you know, it's like you're sounding each other out slightly, and I'm kind of, you know, looking and seeing what snacks they're giving to their kids, and you know what snacks I've got, and you know what drinks, and how the kids are interacting, how's sleep going. It's a good exchange of information point for dads, I think, which you don't get as much, I don't think.
I
think mums get it a lot more.
Well, it's because it goes back to the thing, isn't it? It's more expected.
Well, and also because the mums tend to have had time off together. Yeah. So there's WhatsApp groups and stuff like that, which they're involved in, where dads aren't so much involved in that stuff. But
you do have to physically get yourself into it. I mean, I know that my wife sometimes, she's like, God, I should go out and meet more people and do more things because she maybe doesn't always feel like she does enough of that. Mm. And I kind of get that because I find it a little bit cringeworthy at times. So like that football session I was telling you about, you know, now we've been going for a little while and I know like a few of the dads and a few of the mums and we'll like have a little chat, oh, how's things going, blah, 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 you know, just sort of pass the time of day. But like when I first went, I remember feeling it was like being back in a school playground. So you'd finish the session and then the kids can have a bit of like free play and they're just sort of running around. And I could see, and there was like sort of five or six of the parents all seemed to know each other. And all of a sudden they're kind of congregating and chatting about they're going to, you know, this party at so-and-so's house and, oh, I'll see you down there at so-and-so's. And there was like me and sort of a few other parents all kind of standing there And it felt like first day of secondary school. Do you know what I mean? Like feeling like, oh my God, I don't know anyone. I should be involved. Oh God, like I'm being left out. It's terrible. I'm nearly 40 years old, for God's sake. Like, why the hell am I feeling like that? So it's interesting how you worry about the kids and how they're all interacting, but the whole like parent thing, I find it really sometimes quite tiresome.
Have you ever watched that?
And exhausting. Like just.
Have you ever watched that TV show that Sharon Horgan won, Motherland?
Yeah.
Which is about that. And how, you know, you turn up at the cafe and there's a group of mums all having coffee together and you're like, oh, I've not been invited to that. Yeah. Like, it's not that that's ever happened to me, but that's what it's obviously feeding off.
I think
it
happens to a lot of people. I mean, Lindsay will regularly report back about that. You know, she'll go to a class for the first time and all the mums literally go off for a coffee at the nearest coffee shop. And she's like, oh, right, I'm going home then, am I? Okay, because they know each other. And it's that cliquey nonsense. You kind of get, I can't be doing with it because, you get to a point where you deal with all that at secondary school, you deal with it a bit at university, wherever you go, maybe you deal with it a bit in the workplace. But generally, once you get to a certain age, you think you're past all that nonsense. And there's a thing, I think, that having kids kind of resets you back to that a little bit in a weird sort of way, where you've got to deal again with this whole kind of new social environment where you're having to kind of socialise or make new friends on the basis of this kind of... Like you make new friends on the basis of the school you go to. Mm. Well, now you've got to make new friends on the basis of other people who have kids the same age as you, which, again, is not a basis to make friends. It's just kind of you happen to be lumped in together.
I've done Jackson's primary school applications this week.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, Ben's got 2 years. We realised, actually, 2 years from now, Ben will be at school, which is just mental. Jackson's next year,
Jackson's
right?
Due to go next September. Yeah. Yikes. Six schools picked, ranked... My wife let me do it.
Really?
I say let me do it. I did the read all the Ofsted reports and, you know, chose and then ranked them according to where I thought they should be. And then she's I spoke to her this morning, she's like, because I did think you maybe should switch a couple around. I'm like, well, I've done it now. That's it. You know, our kids' educational path is set.
Right, okay. So basically it's all your fault.
So we find out, I think, in March next year, possibly, where he's going or what places he's got and stuff like that. But that'll be a whole new interesting
That's
subject.
The thing, because then you get into that. I mean, I've spoken to friends, family members, all that, about that thing where you kind of, all of a sudden, you're lumped in with people because your kid is friends with their kid. And it's just, I don't know, sometimes it works out. I mean, like, for instance, I'm just thinking about my own situation. The guys I became friends with when I went to primary school are still my closest friends now.
Okay.
And on top of that, their parents are very close friends with my parents.
See, my friends are from
A really happy, like, lucky thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, the guy that has been my best mate for the last 30 years, his mum and dad are very close friends with my mum and dad now on the basis of that. So that's when it works out.
Yeah.
But there are times, of course, when you're just going to have, like, oh my God, why do I have to deal with this person? Because you have to
I have that at nursery, I think to myself, who's Jackson's mates with at nursery, and I don't socialise with their parents, and probably haven't got as much in common with their parents. But I think you have your friends, in some elements, you have your friends from what point in life you're at.
Yeah.
Some of them you take with them, but I remember being a child and having... you know, want to go around people's houses that weren't necessarily the most appropriate people to be hanging out with. And I'm not friends with them anymore. But at the time, they were the ones that had bikes and wanted to go and, you know, play in the woods and stuff like that. And their parents were very relaxed about letting them out at all hours. So they were good
which
people
is why,
to hang
yeah, which is why you wanted to hang out with them at the time. I mean, I was exactly the same. There's lads I knew that I was quite close mates with when I was in my teens, where maybe I don't see them anymore because I suppose back then it was, you know, a good reason to hang out with somebody. Yeah, no, exactly the same. But I suppose you've touched there on my point, which is not something I'd thought about until we started talking. But that idea that you have to make new friends, that's like me and my wife often talk about this. We are fundamentally, I think, quite miserable people. She's very happy, and maybe I pulled her down to my level.
Yeah,
but that's the case. Yeah, she's a lovely, positive person. I'm just pulling her down into the sense of but can we not just be by ourselves? Let's just do stuff on our own. When actually, you can't do that when you have kids. You suddenly have to branch out, and you have to go and make new friends. And I feel like I haven't had to do that since I went to uni. That was 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So it's that type of thing where, it's like a whole extra level of nonsense that you didn't realise you were going to get into with your children.
Yeah, my wife is a bit like that. At weekend, she said we should go and do stuff for Jackson.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, yeah, fine, off you go. but then that's probably because I've had them both on my own on a Friday. Yeah, so I see like the arrival of her on the scene on a Saturday as an opportunity to like just take my foot off the gas.
See, yeah, that's different to a lot of situations, there, I think. Yeah. Whereas, so I suppose Lindsay is kind of the opposite way around, because she, you know, we wake up on Saturday morning, she's like, great, I don't have to deal with the two of them by myself.
Well, that's, and that leads us nicely back to our Saturday mornings in the playground where it's dad.
Well, Saturday morning is when we have the football session. Yeah. So we go down there and we do the little kickers and then we'll go to the playground on the way home and da-da-da-da.
Weekend dad.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I am very much...
Slightly jokingly say that, of course.
But it's true, you know. Like, and I do, I mean, I always make a point of... I get out of work early enough to get home and have dinner with him and, you know, put him to get, you know, bath time and bedtime is always with me. So that's good. Like, and you know, you spend time together in the morning, obviously, all that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, weekends are, and Ben has got to the point now where he knows, he's only 2.5, but he knows it's the weekend because he knows Saturday and Sunday is weekend days. And he knows that that's like the days that he has daddy all day.
Okay.
Which is great.
Jackson asks every morning, what am I doing today?
Yeah.
And so they're on holiday at the moment. Zoe and have taken Jackson to France for a few nights, and I'm at home with Iris. And the morning that they went to France, he said, what am I doing today? And I was like, you're going on an aeroplane to France. And his face was like, what? I'm going on an aeroplane to France today? Like, yes, you are.
Yeah, nice. Ben's just developed this new thing, actually, where because we've been watching a lot of Toy Story, largely because I'm just fed up of everything else, so we've pushed him into Toy Story. There's a bit actually where the Woody character, the one that's voiced by Tom Hanks, he says, "What are you talking about?" when he's having an argument with Buzz Lightyear. So now Ben has decided. I think he's realised that basically because a couple of times people have laughed when he said it, and because it fits at any point. So I was trying to get him to do something the other day, and he looked up at me and said, "What are you talking about?" And of course everybody cracked up laughing. So now he does it with everything. So that's his now go-to. You were saying, like, Jackson's like, what are we doing today? Ben is just, what are you talking about? Which makes it sound like he's being really rude and belligerent, but he's not. It's just really funny.
Nice. Iris has just started to say finished at the end of her dinner. So when she's finished having her food, she'll push the plate away and she looks at me and goes, finished, which is quite sweet. And then
she can't argue with.
And then I try and trick her in. So you don't want any ice cream or you don't yogurt? And she's like, yog. And like, so you're not finished. But yeah, we're circling back to our...
We've gone off on a tangent. What would you do? All right, here's a question. The final question. How would you improve the average playground for toddlers and small ones?
How would I improve the average? Another set of swings.
Yes. The local one. I live in Walthamstow in northeast London, right? The big local park that everyone goes to. And this is the topic that I actually cover when I get into these conversations we were talking about with, you know, new parents and whatever. Is that why the hell are there's two swings? It's this massive, like, kind of adventure playground thing. So basically, if you've got kids who are 8, 9, 10 years old, happy days, there's loads of stuff for them to go on. Toddlers, there's like two swings.
Yeah.
So there's always a queue.
Another set of swings and some kind of egg timer device on the side of the swing.
Which,
as the swing goes backwards and forwards, it runs down.
Yeah.
So you have a certain, I don't know, 100 swings or whatever.
That's a nice idea.
Per go.
And you could design it up to make it look really kid friendly, like a big kind of lovely colourful thing.
Maybe we can make it in some kind of like time telling.
That is a really good idea. And then it becomes a thing, and then you can't, and then, you know, and then the kids would police
it
themselves.
We franchise it and we sell it. We brand it as first time dads and we retire.
Yeah, trademark first time dads. You can't nick it. No one steal this. But yeah, you could make it, the kids would end up policing it themselves.
Yeah.
Because you would have
swing time.
And they'd say, that's the end of your, you know, you can imagine the kid in the queue, some little girl, that's the end of your turn. And then, you know, and then the sort of selfish dad would be like, excuse me, mate, that is the end of your turn. Can you just, you know.
A bit like when you put a pound in those things you get in supermarkets, the little rides that they have.
It only lasts
a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That is a really good idea.
So that's how I would improve, groundbreaking idea, more swings.
more swings, but the timer is yes.
I also would like if we've got any scientists out there listening to this, how do you get a good slide down a slide?
Yeah,
and what sometimes
it's so
Iris
random.
Goes on it
so
and
random.
She is like a bullet, like a greased weasel going down there. And other times it's like a slow, it's like she's got you know, drag down there.
And so the weird thing is, you don't know until they've done it. So you look at it, and it looks, and you think, that looks
warm,
shiny.
It's shiny.
That looks shiny. That looks, it's not wet. It's perfectly dry. And you think, oh, yeah, he's going to shoot down there. And then he goes, and I'm almost waiting. And I make sure he's not got his trainers on the thing. Yeah, so he's shoot it. Get your feet up in here, son, and it will make you go fast. And then And then, like you said, he just sort of crawls down it. Yeah. Like, what the hell's slowing him down?
I think it's to do with man-made fibres.
Oh, interesting.
I think that you need to be polyester. Speculation. Polyestered up. Polyester trousers to get maximum velocity and shoes off.
I like it. I'm going to bear that in mind.
The high speeds.
We should turn this into a big science experiment. Just put loads of different kids in different trousers.
I'm sure some of them.
Different systems. I just
you yeah, work like in it. Blooming advertising.
That's true.
This is the kind of thing that you could pitch to to a ASDA as their yeah. school uniform. Yeah. These are these trousers are the fastest on the slides.
They might be made of crap, polyester.
It
but
might be
it
stitched
make
together
you go
out of plastic
really quick.
In some sweatshop in you know Far East, but it goes you lightning down a slide.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, that's it's an interesting line to pitch to an advertiser. But yeah, we'll bear that in mind.
So if anyone knows why slides are fast or quick, then please do drop us a line at firsttimedads@reachplc or. Please do leave us a comment and a review on iTunes because it all helps people find us
on your podcast app. Yes, the reviews and stuff they really do make a difference. So please do.
And we'd like to hear from you on Twitter as well. You can find me at Steve Mile Eats,
and me at Big Rich Innes because I'm big. So yeah, obviously you probably don't know that I'm 6'5", but there you go.
You mentioned it a couple.
I mentioned it a few times. I tend to throw it in.
Thank you very much.
I think that's enough.
I mean, that's good. I'm off to the playground.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Do you want me to push you on the swings?
Mate, Big Rich Innes, mate. It'd be a workout, put it that way.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.